You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation. I cover the NFL around the internet, and you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Play. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast in the state of Wisconsin, and the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. And when you're driving in your car, tell your smart device if it's connected. If it's not connected, you got to connect it. Otherwise, you're just talking to yourself. But if it is connected, tell it to play Locked On Packers, and it will. If you're at home, Alexa will play Locked On Packers. Your Google Home will play Locked On Packers. Basically, you could just ask a random person, hey, play Locked On Packers. And they might, if you're really nice to them and you say, hey, do you subscribe? And if they don't, you should get them to subscribe. I mean, we miss Make a Friend Monday, but here we are, Tell a Friend Tuesday. Natrell Jamerson, Packers safety, former Wisconsin Badger, former New Orleans Saint draft pick, now on the Packers, who was on the team last year and played, you know, played on special teams. He was actually did have to play in games because of the defensive backfield injuries last season for the Packers, and has a chance to have a role on this team this year. He is on the show today, and a really interesting conversation from him because, you know, he is honest about his journey, albeit brief, in the NFL. He is effusive in his praise of Jim Leonard, his coach at Wisconsin, who is a Mike Patton disciple. And it is interesting to hear him talk about, you know, getting to go against Drew Brees, getting to go against Aaron Rodgers, getting to go against Devontae Adams. And that's where I want to start today's show. We're going to get to Jamerson a little bit later. But yesterday on Twitter, there was a video circulating from, I believe, NFL Films, where Xavier Rhodes was doing a little piece with Brian Baldinger and Ron Jaworski. And they asked him who the best receivers in the league were, who the toughest guys to cover. And Xavier Rhodes said Julio Jones. He said Antonio Brown. And he said Devontae Adams. And this makes now three all-pro level cornerbacks who have just this offseason name-checked Devontae Adams, who have said he is one of the toughest guys in the league to cover, that he is one of the best receivers in football. And then we have to add in Tyrann Mathieu, who on Twitter went after an NFL writer, Brandon Thorne, who's been on this podcast, who I have tremendous respect for not having Devontae Adams on his list of top 10 receivers. And that was when I mentioned Aaron Jones said Devontae Adams is top two and he's not number two. The defensive backs in the league recognize why Devontae Adams is so tough, or at least they recognize that he is. It seems that the viewing public, media, and even, you know, people who are supposed to be good at this, who are supposed to be smart enough to watch the tape and understand it, and I think those who study him specifically, you know, Brian Baldinger, who was part of this Xavier Rhodes segment, he had done a bit about Devontae Adams earlier in the year and talked about him and why he is so nuanced in his route running. Doug Farrar happened to have a little clip that he showed about how you cannot take even one false step against Devontae Adams or he will cook you. There are a couple things working against Devontae Adams. Number one, he has risen to prominence at a time when the Packers have faded from prominence, at least in terms of the NFL landscape and competing for championships, because his first breakout season was 2016, and that was when Aaron Rodgers was going supernova run the table. Jordy Nelson was still on that team. Randall Cobb was still on that team. And though Devontae Adams was one of the most productive receivers in the league especially scoring, that was his breakout season. So he did not get the recognition that he deserved. And then in 2017, he had almost identical numbers, despite the fact that he played half his games with Brett Hundley and had some huge games in big moments. I mean, lit the Steelers on fire with Brett Hundley, caught the game-clinching deep shot down the sidelines against the Bears in Chicago. He was a big play threat and solidified what he did in 2016. He proved that was not a fluke when he was the number one receiver. But the Packers were not a threat in the NFC. They were not playing in meaningful games. They were not playing in big time games. Devontae Adams was not able to do it in the playoffs, and so people dismissed it. And that brings us to 2018. The Packers, again, they recede from the NFL conversation in importance. And Devontae Adams is not an ostentatious personality. He is very confident, and he plays with a lot of swagger. But he is not going out and doing crazy celebrations. He's not putting himself all over social media in a way that becomes a headline. He's not going on boat trips the week before playoff games. He's not complaining about touches. He's not going on talk radio and taking shots at other people's quarterbacks or dyeing his mustache blonde. He's not doing any of the things that we complain about receivers doing. And yet, that has prevented him from becoming more a part of the national conversation because he's not drawing attention to himself. He's doing exactly what we expect receivers in the National Football League to do when they are good, what we ask them to do, when we ask them to not be Terrell Owens, when we ask them to not be divas, when we ask them to not be, you know, doing the things that Odell Beckham Jr., for example, is criticized for doing. But he doesn't get the limelight because he is not that sort of braggadocious person. And he's not out there saying crazy stuff. And the Packers, I think more importantly, are not in the national spotlight in a way that they otherwise might be if the team were better. And then there's the Aaron Rodgers factor. Clearly, one of the reasons Devontae Adams is not getting the credit he deserves is because he plays with Aaron Rodgers. And there have been other players who Rodgers clearly elevated. James Jones is a great guy and was a very good football player. He was an integral part of a Super Bowl team, and he made sure that the 2015 offense was not a complete disaster. But he was not a great player. Aaron Rodgers made him look better because he was able to put James Jones in a position to succeed, to do all of the unique things that James Jones was able to do. He being Rodgers, limited some of the flaws that James Jones had. And clearly Rodgers, you know, maximized someone like Greg Jennings. Not that he elevated him per se, but maximized him. Greg Jennings goes to Minnesota, has some mediocre seasons, ultimately goes to Miami, doesn't last, and he's out of the league. You know, the irony of Greg Jennings complaining about a joke that Aaron Rodgers made about another team signing him in the offseason is that once Greg Jennings left Green Bay, he stopped being a meaningful player in the NFL. So I understand, I suppose, the impulse to say, well, he plays with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers clearly elevates him. That was the argument in 2016 after a very underwhelming 2015 season when he was asked to step forward in the absence of Jordy Nelson and didn't and couldn't. He was hurt. He had a good start to the season, was hurt, and played hurt all season. And then just as he was, you know, getting back on track late in the year, got hurt again. I mean, I think you can make a good case that Cardinals game, because he played well leading up to that game, got hurt in the Washington playoff game. That Cardinals game might have gone differently if Devontae Adams plays and they don't have to rely on Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis. Randall Cobb also went out in that game. But this might be the year. This might be the year that Devontae Adams finally gets the recognition he deserves, because look, the guy's going up against him every week. Xavier Rhodes faces him twice a season. Darius Slay faces him twice a season. Stephon Gilmore doesn't. But Stephon Gilmore said that Davante Adams has the best release in football, which means he is the toughest guy to get a beat on at the line of scrimmage in the league. In a league with route runners like Keenan Allen and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and Golden Tate and A.J. Green and Julio Jones and OBJ and Jarvis Landry and all of these technicians, all of these craftsmen, Davante Adams is the toughest guy off the line of scrimmage to cover. Darius Slay said Davante Adams is the toughest dude in the league for him to cover. He is the hardest player that he's had to face. And that's going back Darius Slay's time in the league. You know, he's seen peak AJ. He's seen peak Julio Jones. He's seen peak Antonio Brown. And Davante Adams, he said, is the toughest guy. I mean, you heard him on this show say that. So the fact that the national media has not caught up is an indictment of them, not of Davante Adams. And the fact that fans of other teams continue to want to subvert what we're seeing on the field says more about them than anything else. So, you know, while I think it is our responsibility to correct ignorance when we see it, understand that you're going to see a lot of it because it has not reached the NFL consciousness what a special player Davante Adams is. Vikings fans still think they have two receivers better than Davante Adams. The Bears fans still think that Allen Robinson is better than Davante Adams. And, you know, it is not necessarily your responsibility to disabuse them of these notions. They will come to see it in their own time, maybe, or maybe they won't. But if you look at Davante Adams and you see an elite receiver, trust your eyes, because the cornerbacks that he faces week in and week out, that's what they see as well. All right, let's bring in our guest here. He is a safety for the Green Bay Packers, was drafted by the New Orleans Saints in 2018, was the 164th pick. A fifth round pick by the New Orleans Saints, ended up on the Houston Texans and ultimately on the Green Bay Packers in 2018. He is on the roster this season and is back at his college position of safety. Natrell, thanks for joining Locked On Packers.
Hey, I'm
home. So I want to go back to, you know, obviously the fans of this show, or at least a lot of them, are going to remember you from your time at Wisconsin. You know, you're a Florida kid, though. So what was that like coming up north?
It was a shock. That was my first time seeing snow that winter. My first year, not my first time ever. Before that, all I seen was snow on TV. It was a lot different than what I thought it would be. I didn't realize that the snow turns into slush. So that kind of messed me up. Now I don't really like snow no more.
Did you have a coat?
I had a Florida winter coat.
Right.
But I didn't have
the same
Wisconsin coat yet. Yeah.
I had a friend from Florida move to New York City, and he literally did not have a coat that was like even close to winter warm. So I understand the issue there. So you went through the pre-draft process. You know, the Saints took you on day three, but ultimately you didn't make it there. What do you think didn't click for you in New Orleans?
Honestly, I don't really know. When all that went down, I didn't really talk to any of the coaches except for my TV coach. But he was surprised too that they did that. But I feel like when I was there, I gave it everything I had. Took every day like it was my last. I tried to get better every day, but it's not working out there. But that wasn't the end of my journey.
No, and you know, luckily you're 23. There's a lot of your journey that's yet to be written on this. Do you think part of coming to Green Bay and ultimately finding a home here, at least for now, has to do with you getting back to playing a position you're more comfortable with?
In a way, because, you know, the Green Bay, they're looking for more help in the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to Green Bay, I was kind of surprised that they moved me back to safety because, you know, I got drafted as a corner in New Orleans. I played corner in Houston. Then I came to Green Bay and they tell me I'm going back to safety. So I'm like, okay, cool. That's all as long as I'm going to still play. But I said, if me playing safety is the best fit for me in Green Bay, then that's what it is.
Yeah, and you know, I have to imagine you have some level of comfort because of some of the systemic overlaps. You know, Jim Leonard at Wisconsin played for Mike Patton.
Yep.
There is you know, some similarities there. Were you able to come in and pick it up pretty quickly as a result?
It was pretty. I won't say simple, but it was easy to pick up once I got into it. A lot of similarities. I look at some players, I'm like, oh, I used to do this back when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
But the system is working out real nice. I like it.
Yeah, and talk to me a little bit about Jim Leonard, because he is someone who I think a lot of people really hold in high regard. I think they believe, and I believe, he's a future head coach and potentially an NFL head coach. Do you see that?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, Leonard, that's a dog. They ain't supposed to be a real fool, but, of course, Leonard, I call him GOAT. He knows so much. And, when I was in college, me and Dakota Dixon and Derek Taylor, we used to pick his brain just to hear him talk to us. And because we can have a simple conversation and you can interpret a defense sensibly, and he'll make it so much simpler than what it came off as. But I definitely see Coach Leonard being a head coach, even in the NFL one day, because top guys know him, top guys respect him, top guys play. But so, and they know just like I know how Coach Leonard is as a football player, and just knowing the game. So I can definitely tell you.
Yeah. When it comes to, you get to Green Bay, you were in Houston, you get to Green Bay back in the cold weather. But that means you got to see up close and personal. You got to see Drew Brees, you got to see Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
and now you get to see Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you got really thrown into the fire going up against these guys in practice.
Yeah, going up with great guys, man. Of course, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Watson. He's him, but every one of them is so different in how they. And how they play the game. They're all great at what they do, but each one of them has just something different that you have to try to catch on to. So it's been great playing against those guys in front.
Yeah, and let me ask you about the Aaron Rodgers part of that, because last year, obviously, he was playing with the injury and didn't look like, fully at least, the Aaron Rodgers that we're used to seeing. But from your standpoint, you're closer to the action. You're in those rooms. Did the team know how serious that injury was?
I don't think so, because I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure a lot of people by surprise just how it called me.
So, your hope now, you're in the system, and it's a system that you feel comfortable with. It's a safety position that you've played before in this defense. So what have you tried to focus on this offseason to try and solidify your spot in this defense in 2019?
It's more mental for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can, run with the best. Do all that physically, but it's just the mental aspect. Once I master the mental aspect, how I want to, how I spend it to my time training, how it starts. I feel like that would give a great advantage. Like I said, the physical part, that's going to come, but the mental part is what I got to really focus on. So that's what I've been doing.
If you were looking at this defense, the roster, obviously the Packers added two safeties in the offseason, one with a first round pick. And one significant contract to Adrian Amos. do you feel like there is a spot for you on the defense where you can fit in and really help? And if so, what spot is that?
Definitely feel like I can, you know, fit in and make an impact. And whether it's safety and nipple, you know, I've been in a rotation with the guy, so, you know, having them on board as well is a plus. Because, you know, Savage, he's young, but he's smart. You know, he knows what he's doing. You know, he's always putting guys that push and putting them on board. And then with Adrian, you know, he's a vet, and he's open, and he's one of those vets that can slow the game down, and he looks so simple for him. So having those two guys aboard now is a big plus. And, you know, back to me, you know, wherever, like I said, wherever it's nipple or safety, wherever the coaches feel, I, you know, can have the biggest impact. That's where I feel.
Well, so when I looked at it, you know, we saw last year, you know, Jermaine Whitehead was a guy who was a sort of a hybrid player. He played nickel, he played safety, played even a little bit of linebacker. I look at this roster and I think, why can't Natrell Jamerson be that guy this year?
Ain't no reason he can't. So I took him to it all. they know that. So, because, you know, when I first got to Green Bay, I was still playing corner. Still taking the season. You know, wasn't trying to. Don't want to pay crazy at me, but, you know, now they team nipple. They see that, so they see I can play all different type of positions, and I can pick it up quick. So I'm not trying to be him. I'm trying to be the best we have to be. So
right.
whatever that is, I'm awesome.
So you got to see Michael Thomas, you got to see DeAndre Hopkins, you got to see Devontae Adams. I think people are just starting to realize how good Devontae Adams is. Were you a little surprised when you got to camp? I know this is a leading question, but were you a little surprised when you got in and you saw Devontae? Because I don't think a lot of people, even in the league, who hadn't had a chance to go against him, really understood how good he was.
My first time going against Devontae in practice, I don't want to say it surprised me, but I was really expecting what I got. Well, you know, he definitely won a lot of people overlook him, and they start to realize it now, but he's definitely top three in the league. So, yeah, he's definitely on it.
One of the guys that has really stood out over the spring has been Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Are you he's gotten a lot of hype. It seems like he's going to have a role in this offense. Is he someone that on the other side of the ball has stood out to you?
He of course stands out. You know, he has that speed where he's going to stand out. Regardless. I can't really say what offense is going over. That's not really my forte. I don't want to go over offense.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure they cooked us up a nice one.
Yeah, on your side of the ball, you have a really group of young players. I mean, Jair is young. Josh Jackson is young. You, Tony Brown, Darnell Savage. I mean, does in some ways is that an advantage for you guys because you're all sort of growing together in this and you know, maybe can relate to each other on that level a little bit better?
Yeah, definitely. But all of us being, you know, around the same age, it's kind of like we look against each other and with the whole pre-draft process and all that together. So it's good seeing familiar faces and even some of us knew each other before. All of that, but it's good seeing familiar faces. So just, I can say like the comfort level is easier to talk to somebody that you've known for a little while rather than somebody that you just get thrown into the fire with. I don't know. But, yeah, I feel like it's the best because we're young, but we, you know, we own it. So don't let age fool you.
Well, and one of the things that I think that youth has brought, I mean, watching last season, it seemed like, you know, especially early in the year with Jair and JJ, that there was a little bit more swagger in that secondary, a little bit more attitude, a little bit more, you know, they were carrying themselves differently than we've seen in the years past. And it was actually really exciting to see. Do you guys feel that? I mean, there was some picture posing and I liked it.
Yeah, y'all talk about our time having that swag. You know, like they always say you feel good, you play good. So that's, we always gotta have swag even when we're practicing. Just out there having fun. When we're having fun, it loosens everybody up. You got, you know what I'm saying, so tense and, you know, thinking, you're just playing. So having that fun and that swag, that's big for.
Yeah, I'll get you out of here on this. I'm really interested to see how Mike Patton is able to get this defense. You know, there's all these new guys, Preston and Zadarius Smith and Adrian and you know, I sort of include you in that because I think you're going to have a chance to get some playing time and have an impact. Have you seen an evolution in this defense and how he's adapting it to the pieces that are on the field? I mean, I think Oren Burks is going to play more. I mean, there's a lot of differences between what we saw last year and what we're going to see this year.
I can't say too much. I can't say the recipe of what we're doing. But I can definitely say it's going to be an exciting defense. It's going to be a fun defense. It's going to be a winning defense. So this upcoming season, we got something in store.
That's what I like to hear. All right, Natrell, I appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to be looking for you this summer and into the fall and winter, of course. Make sure you get a good jacket.
All right, I got it. Thanks.
All right, I want to thank Natrell Jamerson again for joining the show. We have some more player guests coming your way before training camp, so keep an eye peeled for that. You can follow Natrell on Twitter at Trellion12, so TrellionN12 on Twitter. And yeah, keep an eye out for more player interviews. We have some things that are in the works and are going to get an inside glimpse. Remember I said that I think that there is often more to be gleaned from conversations, or at least more interesting stories from players who are fighting to make the roster than those who are solidified and those who are, you know, already in a position where they're, you know, we know what they're going to be. I think someone like Natrell Jamerson is going to be a fascinating player to watch over the course of training camp, exhibition season, and even into the season, where I think he truly does have a potential role for the Packers, but we'll see. He has to earn that. He has to go win that. But, you know, there is a hole at safety so long as Josh Jones is not on the team. There was some reports that the Packers have interest in a safety in the supplemental draft. That's something we can get into a little bit later in the week. Also are going to get to your questions. So a lot more to get to in the offseason for the Packers. And we don't sleep here at Locked On Packers. So the best way to never miss a show, subscribe on iTunes. Go to iTunes, leave a review, leave us a rating, let other people find Locked On Packers, but then subscribe. Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And that means following me on Twitter. All the stuff is on there. All the stuff that I write for Acme Packing Company. You can check that stuff out, Pro Football Weekly. And all my content, Twitter, easiest way to do it. You can also follow the podcast at Locked On Packers. Ask your questions there. And if you do have questions or you have comments, you have concerns, you have criticisms, movie reviews, cookie recipes, send them to the Locked On Packers fan hotline, 920-341-3775. It's the best way to stay Locked On Packers.